And we're back here on Dollars and Cents. That's S-E-N-S-E on MichiganBusinessNetwork.com. I'm your host, Patrick A. Heller, the Communications Officer of Liberty Coin Service in Lansing. And we're continuing with our interview right now with Dr. Samuel Gregg, the Research Director at Acton Institute in Grand Rapids. During your talk here at Michigan State as part of the Hans Senholz lecture here in late March, you referred to a multi-country survey on whether or not people agreed with the thesis that the free market is the best system. And the differences were pretty stark.
Sure. This was a study that was done between 2002 and 2011 about attitudes towards the free market. And the question asked in both time periods was, is the free market the best economic system? And you found in European countries a low favorability reaction to that question. So in Germany, you had relatively high, about 31% of the population consistently saying, yes, the free market economy is the best, compared to a country like France, where less than 6% of people agreed with that particular statement. But the real shock of this survey that's been coming out over time was a difference in American attitudes. So in 2002, something like 80% of Americans expressed the view that the free market economy was the best economic system. In 2011, that figure had fallen to 59%. So that's a drop of 21 percentage points in the way that people viewed the market economy. And more Americans were more skeptical about the merits of the market economy. Now, that obviously had something to do with the 2008 financial crisis as well as the subsequent recession. But when you looked at young Americans had even more negative views of the market economy. And there are lots of surveys that have come out over the past couple of years suggesting that anywhere between 40 and 50% of young Americans, let's call them millennials, had a favorable view of socialism. So these, I think, are quite disturbing trends in the way that Americans view the market economy. The market economy is not viewed as favorably by Americans today as it was less than 15 years ago. Now, that might sound like a long period of time, but actually in the biggest scope of things, it's not a big period of time. And at the moment, I don't see many more favorable views of the market economy coming on the scene. In fact, I suspect we'll find that views will become more negative over time.
Okay. One observation you shared in your presentation is that a number of politicians realize growing government spending is not a sustainable method, but there isn't a politically practical way to overcome that.
Right. The problem basically is this, that if you are a politician, whatever party you are, and you say, we need to rein in government spending, when you go to the election, you are always going to be operating at a certain disadvantage from your opponent or opponents who say, don't vote for him. He's going to take away your benefits. He's going to take away your entitlements. I will maintain your entitlements. I may even give you more entitlements. And unfortunately, there's a considerable amount of evidence that suggests that politicians who argue in favor of increasing welfare programs or at least protecting entitlements, and who they tend to do better electorally because they can offer, in concrete terms, more immediate benefits to the electorate than the person who says, no, I want to cut government spending or I want to reduce entitlements. And so if you are a politician who's out there saying we need to reduce entitlements, that's great, but you're going to have a harder electoral road to follow than the politician who's there who basically is saying, I will use the state to give you whatever you want.
Yeah, you gave an example of German Chancellor Schroeder
Right. Achieving
some of the reductions and losing re-election.
Right.
Margaret Thatcher in Great Britain had somewhat better success, but
the problem with economic reformers, or one of the disincentives, I should say, to being an economic reformer, to liberalizing the economy, is that you're going to make some segments of the population very, very angry. And in the long term, your reforms will pay off, but the odds of you getting reelected decrease over time the more you engage in economic liberalization. And if you're a career politician, that is not a great incentive to engage in economic reform.
Right. You also had an observation that there's a strong correlation between welfare recipients and an increase in dysfunctionality in society.
Right. Well, one of the things I have noted in recent years is that people who earn the same income a lot matters on how they get it in terms of how happy they are. And what one generally tends to find is that the person who earns, say, $100 through welfare is generally less happy than the person who earns $100, the same amount, through work, which tells us that happiness is not so much to do with whatever amount of wealth you actually have. It has a lot more to do by the process by which you gain wealth, by which you, whether you're creating wealth growing wealth, increasing economic growth, or whether you're effectively gaining wealth by taking it or receiving it from other people. So that tells us something about the relationship between happiness and wealth has less to do with whatever the amount is. It has much more to do with how you get it in the first place. People who work and receive a salary or a check for doing whatever they've done are generally happier than people who simply receive a welfare payment in return for which they've done nothing.
That's a very astute observation. I wish we had more time to go on to other subjects, but we're running toward the end of time. If people wanted to check more into books and research that you've done or to find out about the Acton Institute, how could they find you?
I'd suggest they go to Acton's website, acton.org, and you'll find a wealth of material about what the Acton Institute is doing in America and around the world to promote a free and virtuous society and to integrate sound free market economic principles and ideas into this idea of a society that takes freedom and virtue seriously.
Oh, thank you. You've been listening to Dr. Samuel Gregg, the research director at Acton Institute in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And you've been listening to Dollars and Cents here on MichiganBusinessNetwork.com. We'll be back after these messages.